FYLP is sponsored by CapturedPrey.com. Visit CapturedPrey.com today for all your import and third-party Transformers needs, and save even more through the Captured Prey Loyalty Program. You can also save on shipping on domestic orders of $150 or more. See website for details. CapturedPrey.com. Great toys, great prices, great service.
In a cold, faraway world, a battle is raging between evil and good. From the stars.
Perceptia here. Welcome to Transformers for your listening pleasure. TFYLP for short. Join us and discuss the latest in Transformers fandom. Now, where did I put that corner stop? Ratchet, will you take the corner stop?
Transformers! Defenders of truth! Robots survive!
All right. Hi, everybody. This is TFYLP, Transformers for Your Listening Pleasure, episode number 285, recorded April 21st, 2018. I am your host, Ron Land, a.k.a. Weird Wolf. Along with me this evening is Rick Alvarez.
What a fail.
Yeah. toy fail.
Wow. God damn it, Mattel.
Kristen Russell.
Hello.
Nice crisp, sharp video today.
Well lit.
Thanks.
Yes, sexy.
Oh.
And Rob.
Hi.
Is it Robert or is it Robert?
Yes.
the Pollock answer.
Legit.
Robert. But as you heard them complaining at the top, we are live right now.
However, I don't know how long
that will last because
that's what she said.
Yeah.
Oh.
I don't know how long that will last because the stream may fail. Last week we broadcast pretty well for about 20 minutes and then it just died.
So I don't know.
But we are streaming live. And if the stream fails, don't worry. I'm recording a local copy of this, so I will upload that copy to YouTube, and it will be available at our normal time, 8 p.m. Eastern. But right now, I'm broadcasting it mainly as a test. But if it continues the whole show, great. And we'll just leave it up there. But tonight, or today, we're talking about. Robots in Disguise, not the one that's on the shelf now, but the ones, the good ones.
Yeah, the good ones from 2001.
The ones that used to be car robots. We're going to be talking a little bit about that, and we'll talk. I'm sure we've got some stuff for Ouch My Wallet. If you guys have anything that you might want to talk about on Ouch My Wallet this week,
I do. I mean, you know, my wallet pains are a little different than yours. Got a couch.
Transformer related.
Oh no! Well, I have toy stuff, but not Transformers related. So,
well, you can talk about that giant T-Rex that's next to you there.
Now, or is it later?
Sure.
Oh, okay. Well,
Ouch My Wallet. That was a segment.
So Hasbro decided to give up Jurassic Park, and I'm glad they did, because finally someone. Is giving us 3¾-inch Jurassic Park figures. They don't have the wonderful articulation that the Hasbro G.I. Joe figures do, but they're getting there. It's a start, and they're going back and doing classic Jurassic Park characters like Dr. Alan Grant and Dr. Ellie Sadler. Who doesn't need an Ellie Sadler, right? But they're also doing this. Look at this giant T-Rex. This is the T-Rex that we needed for Age of Extinction. $50 for this T-Rex. It makes noise sometimes. It eats, right? So here's the Hulk. I put it in its mouth. And then it poops it out the bottom. It poops it out. Like, this is a great toy. I put this in my daughter's room last night, and they woke up and came into my room. They're like, Daddy, we got another T-Rex. And I'm like, that's just on loan. It's my T-Rex. Because they do love T-Rexes. And it's totally articulated. I love this thing. It's great. And it was $50, man. Good job, Mattel. I mean, it doesn't really hurt my wallet, but, you know, I'm very excited about this. This is a great toy. Get this. It looks for yourself or for your kids. It's a fun toy.
It does look fun.
And it looks well made, too. Is it more plastic or is it rubbery?
It's rubbery. It's a combination of both.
But Who made it?
What?
Who made it?
This is Mattel. Mattel now has Jurassic Park. So this is great, and I will say there's another great Mattel for the two people that are listening that are into G.I. Joe like me. I worked on the G.I. Joe series Renegades, and I don't know if it was done on purpose or if it's just an amazing coincidence, but the Jurassic World Troop Transporter looks incredibly identical to the G.I. Joe Renegades vehicle. The muskrat. Muskrat. Was it the muskrat? Yeah. I think that's what it was called. So that's a great 3¾-inch vehicle out there for you guys. Put it with your G.I. Joe Renegade figures. Or don't.
I don't have any choice.
As you wish. It's America. So.
You think you're untouchable.
Shout out to Mattel for doing a good job with Jurassic Park. Finally. It only... Only took 25 years.
Only. So apparently there's some echo, and I do apologize for that. People who are watching live, hi everybody, and thanks for joining us live. I do apologize. I'm trying everything I can. I'm trying something completely different than I did last year. I'm going through my laptop instead of my main broadcast computer for the audio.
And it's still
echoing.
So I don't know.
I just don't know.
Have you tried getting good?
Do you try yelling at it?
I don't know. Try hitting it.
Touch it in the back.
Try turning it off and turning it off.
I have a mixer on the way. I purchased a mixer yesterday, a Behringer mixer. And it should be here tomorrow or Monday. I doubt that it'll be here tomorrow, according to Amazon, because how often does Amazon deliver on Sundays? At least not around here.
It happens
all the time.
Really? Really?
All the time around here.
Wow. If you got Prime, because they want to make that today window.
Yeah, they deliver on Sundays.
Well, that'll be cool beans, but it will be a little bit too late for this episode.
At least none of us are hearing it.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds great on my end.
Everything sounds good on my end.
But whenever I get it,
I will be feeding all the audio through the mixer and back into the computer. And then whenever I get the new computer, and I'll give you a slight update on that here in a moment. Whenever I get the new computer, I will use it also to help level out the sound as well. So it shouldn't peak as much. Knock on wood. But a couple weeks ago, I gave an update that the CPU motherboard and a couple other small things have been purchased for it. As of yesterday, the new monitor, which is a 34-inch ultra-wide, so this thing is going to be like a huge monitor. The case and the card reader for my camera was purchased. So it's making some progress. There's some actual physical things to touch with it now. Yay!
I'm excited.
I'm probably thinking about a month away before it'll be fully paid off and everything. But I'm really excited. Let's continue with the Ouch My Wallet. Rob, do you have anything?
No, not since I talked last week. I mean, I actually have some of the same stuff that Rick has. Couch, actually new TV. You got a dishwasher being delivered soon. But nah.
That's a real Ouch My Wallet because that's grown-up stuff.
Yeah, but no, I don't. No new toys in the last week.
Well, you could pimp your video that you just put up.
I did. I just put up my video on Bruman's videos for these two trucks here that just got done putting them back in the robot.
Is that Lori?
It's X-Transbots, Aegis, and PN. Yeah. I don't know what the names look for. I didn't bother to Google it. I don't know if I want to, but... But yeah, they are awesome. I definitely recommend them. Very cool toys. Maybe Takara will get around to them. Maybe they won't. Who knows what Takara's doing right now in the G1 space.
Yeah, it seems Masterpiece has really gone the movie route You know, Bumblebee, Prime, Barricade, Ironhide. I mean, those are characters I want in Masterpiece form, but, I mean, you know, the last new Masterpiece we got was, you know, Sunstreaker. Has Dinobot come out yet?
No, it comes out this summer. Or maybe fall.
I'm really afraid that Takara is going to do the thing that they normally do.
It's like they get so close to releasing all of a certain set of characters.
And then just stop. Just shy of having all those characters completed.
It's like you'll get all of certain characters and then...
You know what? We're not going to do the rest.
I don't think it's Takara. I mean, that's Hasbro. Ever since
not from Brand Unity pieces.
Yeah, ever since Brand Unity, the G1 MP stuff has shriveled up. No news. No leaks.
Takara is the one that controls the MP, the Masterpiece. They design that stuff first, and then Hasbro retroactively pays them a royalty in order to use that. Hasbro has never taken the movie MPs.
The designers have said Hasbro dictated the cost and the part count, and they have controlled.
Not sure the old rules are the same anymore. That's different. That's a completely different thing. Dictating cost and parts count. That's part of the normal everyday procedure. That's written into the contract every 6 to 8 years whenever they re-up the contract between Hasbro and Takara. That's completely normal. Hasbro has always dictated parts count.
But they used to not on the G1 MPs because they weren't guaranteed a stateside release. It was Takara's market. Since Brand Unity, the only thing we've gotten is the anime Prowl that was supposed to have simultaneous release in both U.S. as a Toys R Us exclusive, I think. So who the fuck knows where that's going now?
Entertainment.
Okay, so Entertainment Earth. So
and Diamond, actually. Diamond's picking it up.
Well, that's cool.
So basically, somebody orders Diamond. Nobody will get it.
But yeah, so it's ever since Brand Unity, it's been all movie Masterpiece. You know, Dinobot was already slated and gone. We just haven't heard anything past that. So I don't know. It's dark days over in the MP speculation thread for G1.
That's why I turned to third party to try and complete my set.
You know, that's why I finally bought these guys. Shozi Store has them on sale for like $75 each shipped.
I had the Bad Cube Trailbreaker, and I loved it.
It was a nightmare to transform, in my opinion.
These guys are fun,
but it was really good looking in both modes. I was really happy with it. But I had the strong sensation that they were going to come out with official Trailbreaker and Hoist. So I just sold it. I'm like, okay, I'm going to sit here and I'm going to be patient and I'm going to continue to be patient. As much as I would like to go out and pick up another third party Trailbreaker or Hoist, I'm going to hold off on those. But certain characters, like Headmasters, I really don't see them doing that in an official capacity. So that's why I'm going to be all over the Fan Toys Skullcruncher and Mind Wipe, and I've already got the KFC Snapdragon and Ape Face, which I absolutely adore those guys.
Those came out pretty good.
With those. I don't know.
I didn't think they were perfect, but I thought they were decent.
I'm really happy with them.
I'm less happy with the ape face.
Yeah, I like the Snapdragon better. It flows better. As far as the transformation, but the ape face pulls off all three modes really well.
Yeah, that first face though, that first head it came with was just awful. The replacement head that came with Snapdragon was a needed improvement.
So I was doing like you were doing there for a while, Duron, where, you know, I would put off because of like, especially the 84 to 86 guys, that's a high chance that Takara is going to hit it. And it was actually Orson. He was like, man, he's like, I would rather buy it now with what's out that, you know, if I like the toy, you know, don't just buy garbage. But then you get, you know, 2-3 years of that character if Takara puts it out, you know, and that's becoming a bigger and bigger if, you know, and then you sell it, you know, and yeah, you might not get what you put into it, but you've also been able to enjoy the figure for and the character on your shelves for that much longer.
Yeah.
And for me, given that G1 MP is like one of the like top 2 or 3 parts of my collection, you know, that I'm willing to do that after time, you know. And I really thought the trucks were around the corner because that one designer talked about trying to design a mold that would work with both.
Yep.
And I was like, oh, man, it's about to come out. And here we are, like, year or two later, and when...
It's at least two. It's been a long time.
Yeah. Well, let me at this point, I'm good with these. I'll hang out with them for a while. If the card does it, then I'll deal with that.
Knowing that, Robert, you and Duran both are, like, super masterpiece G1, out of the 84-85 lineup, who are you waiting for officially? Who do you absolutely need?
I would like to have Trailbreaker and Hoist. That's what I'm saying. I'd like to have Trailbreaker and Hoist, Hound,
and Mirage.
Mirage, I think, is probably. I would rather
Jazz is my number one.
You know. If we get a jazz, I'll be great. I'll be happy.
But I am that happy with Make Toys. Downbeat.
Downbeat is really good, but I really want the official license.
Yeah.
If we're narrowing to Takar releases, it's got to be Jazz, and I think a close second is Hound. That's how I like the trucks. I don't think they're not as impactful to me as Jazz, fucking Jazz, and
mine
then Hound.
Mine is Jazz or and Mirage, but you know, Hound is up there too.
But, like, none of them, like, Mirage and the trucks and Cliff Jumper. You know, and honestly, I mean, all the mini bots, I mean, I want them all. Like, none of them are, like, even Skids, like, none of them are, like, meh, in my view. My issue with Downbeat is that I didn't get it when it came out because now, at the time I was like
$200.
Yeah, now I'm not going to. So now I'm just kind of waiting on a Make Toys to reissue it. Yeah, hoping they will.
I got Downbeat, and then thanks to Christian, I was able to pick up the stepper version of it, which I'm glad that I went with the Make Toys version because I hear the other one, which was it the Toy World?
Coolsville. Toy World, Coolsville.
Yeah, it was orange plastic instead of gold. And I'm like, what the hell were you doing?
They were doing the BotCon stepper.
That didn't have orange.
Yeah, it was the second
the
version.
Shatter glass.
Oh, the shatter glass.
The ricochet. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Not.
But he was orange, not black and orange. He was orange and whatever color, orange and white.
Yeah, I didn't get a stepper. And I didn't get Fans Toys Willis when it came out either.
Well, for the same reason,
I was waiting for Takar to get to it, and now that guy. I mean, some people put him on eBay for like $500. I mean, nobody's going to buy it for that. But even then, still $200-$300, it'll go for that to someone.
I picked up Gundog recently because of that. I wanted Willis, but
I don't. Gundog just doesn't fit for me. I'll wait for Hound to get reissued or Willis to get reissued.
Back whenever some of the third parties, whenever they first start out, they'll send out samples for reviewers, photographers like myself, to actually check them out and get the word out there about their product. Which I think is a phenomenal thing for them to do. But a lot of them, they'll do that for a while, and then they'll just stop doing it. Well, Fans Toys Willis was actually one of those toys that I actually was able to get a hold of and photograph. And this was probably two years ago, I want to say roughly. And if you look at my Flickr page, I believe I've still got photos of it up there.
It's a great figure.
Don't get me wrong. I liked it. But as far as masterpiece scale, I know scale is relative in Transformers. But in vehicle mode, he just seemed way bigger than he needed to be. No one cares about vehicle mode scale. It's like the Jeep was almost as big as MP10's cab. You know, I'm like...
It's all about the robot mode.
Here, let me. You know, I was just thinking. You guys said you'd rather have the official release.
I would.
But listen, you know, we had the official Rumble Frenzy Laserbeak Ravage, but then we have these third party guys that come out and their figures blow them away.
That's a matter. I don't like them.
Now, don't get me wrong. Actually, my next video is going to be on these two guys because I think these guys are awesome, but I think they're completely different.
Yeah.
I mean, These belong on a Masterpiece shelf, but the Masterpiece ones that Takara put out, I mean, they fit in Soundwave's chest.
Yeah, that's what I need. And they're limited.
They're limited by that. See, they're pigeonholed by that.
But I think it's fine. I don't think it's a pigeonhole. I think it's they serve two different purposes, and I think both of them knock it out of the park for what they're trying to do. To me, they live together harmoniously and like have like play dates and sleepovers and stuff.
To see what Takara did with the engineering to make all those cassettes have one alt mode and be so different, I think it's incredible. Not a pigeonhole.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, ingenuity is one thing, but you know, what is masterpiece, right? It's supposed to be as honest an expression of the original now leaning towards animation. Right? So when you have those cassettes, you know, you compare them to the other masterpiece figures, you compare them to the animation, to what they look like, and they just don't compare to what the third party guys are doing, especially that Ravage. I'm sorry, I don't know the third party names. But then you also have those Rumble and Frenzies that have the pile drivers that actually are battery operated. Like, how crazy is that? That's just awesome.
No.
And look at that thing go. It's not slow. I mean, you know, you put, you know, you have a nail, you got to do some drywalling or something and just use that.
Now, again, that's cool, what I... but my cassettes really need to be sound wave sized.
That's the way I feel. You know, I'm with Christian and Rob on this. I do like the Ocular Max tapes, but they're a bit big for tape mode. And I'm perfectly happy with the official ones. The official ones are great.
In my opinion, a lot of fun too.
They are more official ones. I still want Cobalt Centuries and the other
Slugfest and Overkill. That would be
Beastbox Squawk Talk, Cobalt Centuries.
I don't think we'll ever get those officially.
Messing with an unofficial oversized Squawk Talk right here, but.
But yeah, I'm really happy with them.
You know, it's the same thing with the Make Toys Meteor, which is their Starscream.
Oh yeah,
from what I understand, it is like leaps and bounds better than the official one.
But at this point, I'm so happy with the official ones.
And I know they're not perfect. But I don't feel like going back and spending $700 to $1,000 to replace all my damn seekers again.
Here's the thing, to play off that point, you know, I'd rather have a character we haven't gotten than just, you know, how many Optimus Primes, how many Starscreams do we need at MP scale? You know, I'm ready for those other characters, and everyone's still going to those top tier A and B characters. You know,
I felt that the Masterpiece game had changed enough that a new Masterpiece Starscream I was ready for. And I absolutely love Meteor. And I think that there's a couple of like little things about it. I think people way overblow them online. I don't think they're near that bad. So I was happy to replace it. Now, am I going to replace the other five Seekers? I don't know about that. Just especially because those, what is it? Are they the cone heads were all like, and we're all exclusives, and they cost like $250, and the aftermarket on them plummeted hard because of how much wear and tear that mold has seen. People, I guess, are sick of it. I don't know if I can do it for the other five. You know, and they just announced Thundercracker and Skywarp in that mold, and both of them from Make Toys have color issues. Skywarp's hands are wrong, and then like in plain mode for Thundercracker, there's like a little gray piece, and it's just, well, it's enough little things. It's like, now I don't know if I want to bother replacing the ones I have on my shelf.
If you're going to do it right. Until we see like the final products.
I believe these are supposed to be. I mean, you're right. I will wait to see for sure what the stores have, but it's looking like that's what it's going to be.
This conversation about, you know, do we all want to spend $800,000 to replace all my Seekers? That does remind me of something. My wife has an Ouch My Wallet. Which doesn't involve Pottery Barn. So it was my birthday last week. Thank you. Please hold your applause.
Congratulations, you're closer to dying.
Yeah, every day I get closer to death. So she surprised me, and she got me the Jabba Sail Barge through the Hasbro Kickstarter.
Is that a hint?
And so now I'm thinking, all right, it's only a matter of time. It's only a matter of time before
Unicron.
Is it going to be Unicron? I mean, if you're going to pay $500 for a Transformer, I think Transformers will probably be next and then maybe G.I. Joe. But if you're going to pay $500 for a Transformer,
Unicron.
Who's it going to be?
Unicron.
That's Unicron or Primus, Unicron. But I think it's got to be Unicron. I mean, I love the Armada mold, but I mean, if they wanted to do like a animation G1, basically MP style, obviously not to scale, but you know, that animation accurate version.
Tall, you know, a 2 foot like, tall masterpiece.
Yeah, I mean, that's which isn't uncommon these days. You know, we have 3 fucking Omega Supremes by third parties that are right. about See, the that? Size of a toddler. So
I'm a whole different point of view on this. All right, Duran, you're also with Unicron?
Yes.
Okay.
Are you thinking it's going to be a playset? The Arc playset? Well,
I'd rather it be a gift set, really, several figures. Okay. Rather than one giant one.
Who do you want?
I don't know. I want Seacons if that's the way it has to come out. But I don't think the $500 price point has to stay in order to make HasLab work.
No.
So I'm more
no,
of like a $200 thing rather than a $500 thing.
You know, just going
but if
off.
It is $500. One thing. I guess Unicron
or Devastator.
Masterpiece Devastator. Devastator.
Yeah. Here's how I look at it. You know, we've got Unicron toys already. I want something I haven't had before. I want an Arc. I want a goddamn Arc.
An arc would be okay, but I mean, literally, it wouldn't transform.
No, but
I'm okay with that.
I mean, they could load that bitch up
with
features.
A cool playset that would work with your deluxe figures, your deluxe G1s, and your deluxe generations figures, or your deluxe RID figures.
And they could throw in a deluxe or two with the set. But yeah, I agree. Yeah.
Did they throw in any figures with the cell barge? They didn't, did they?
Yak face.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, they did. Okay.
Yep. Yeah, they included a new yak face on the Vint retro card, and it came with a nice book.
Yeah.
Which,
I think there's a lot of cool things already. They could do with it. And
yeah. Okay. I'd rather
I don't
have
know
the
if
Arc than Unicron.
I don't know if I would buy the Arc, to be honest.
When is this?
I don't know if I would buy it for deluxe scale. Maybe if it looked okay for G1, I might.
I mean, that's a piece you can use as a playset or something you can hang from your ceiling, you know, or build a cool diorama where it's sitting upwards. Like, imagine if you got that box.
I don't have a 2,200 square foot basement.
But listen,
as I showed last week, this is where my bat cave is right now, literally sitting in the corner in the floor. You know, so.
You know, it's a cave. It's you know, it's got to be below everything. So imagine you got that box. Right? And that box like folds open, and there's the Arc ready to launch into space.
Yep, ooh. I think that's a job for Matthew Reinhardt.
I have the last one he did. It's actually in there. I need to glue it back together.
I have that very cup, Rick.
That very same cup.
That's
the Walmart $2.
Yeah.
Oh, mine's over here for my move.
One quick note before we move on. I wanted to touch back to what we were talking about. You know the Ocular Max tapes versus you know the actual Masterpiece tapes. Mm-hmm. My plan is to actually, with the Matrix, that's the cheap one, not the expensive one. I think a setup with that, with MP01, and I still have MP05, although I'm probably going to get rid of MP05 for the Wei Zhang New Evolution 01. I believe he's in the same scale. I got to measure and see if it is. And use those two in that scale with these guys. I think these guys... The Ocular Max scale really well with MP01 and MP05 scale. And I think that with the Matrix in the middle will be a nice display once I buy real shelves.
Matrix displays well with everything. You can't go wrong with that.
That's true.
No matter what generation you're displaying, you can't go wrong with that.
When is the Jawbone sail barge supposed to ship?
Next summer, ain't it?
I believe May of 19.
Oh, wow.
So I will already have had another birthday by the time I get it.
That's a long time from now.
Or you could be dead.
Book and hopefully, and the book's already shipped out. And I think the book's like the making of Sail Barge.
Does that come with the price?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Cool. That's cool.
Comes with the book and the yak face and ship. It was $500, I believe. Shipping was extra. Yeah.
Of course it was.
How much is the shipping on something like that?
I don't know. I mean, she probably 30
bucks.
It was
40 bucks.
It's 4 feet long, man. I don't know. It's but they're
when I'm shipping Fort Maxes across the country last Christmas, it was like $60 to do that. So, yeah.
Where are you?
North Carolina.
North Carolina. So, like, yeah, definitely coast to coast would be expensive.
Yeah, to go to Colorado for one and California for the other, they were $60 and $70.
That's just not worth it at that point.
No, it was not.
That is insane.
Especially when weren't those caught on sale somewhere?
Yes.
Yeah. And how about Ollie's? How about Ollie's showing up with Trypticons at $13?
I've only seen that one picture.
I think it's supposed to be 50. I saw another picture where they're 50.
Still, $50, that's a great price.
It's a great price. It's just not 13. Price. That was unreasonable.
So that's it for today.
I was actually replying to somebody here.
Our apologies to Lindsay Buckingham. We didn't get to you today. And
I get that reference.
Well, actually that was one thing I was going to say. Let's finish up the Ouch My Wallet. And Christian, you do kind of have something that you can talk about. Same thing I do that we were talking about pre-show.
Oh, that was Ouch My Wallet from like 7 months ago.
Yeah, but you have just opened it up.
Okay, yes, I got Great Shot and Grand Max this week. So not so much Ouch My Wall as Ouch My Mailbox.
Ouch My
Mailbox. That was tough.
I mean, this thing is beautiful.
Did Grand Max end up getting the bonuses that they wanted to hit? Nope. Okay, I couldn't remember if it happened. I thought
I saw somewhere that Takara had indeed gone ahead with the Pretender, but it was going to be offered fake. Some other way.
No, that was someone misinterpreting a Google Translate. I wanted it to, but it looks like we're going to have to do customs. Whenever Wave Rider comes out.
Hopefully it'll be a BotCon exclusive this year.
Do you know if those...
Oh, wait. Sorry.
Womp womp. Do we know if those ugly-ass custom Fort Max heads that had the Japanese comedians on them...
I have one of those on the way.
You do?
I want it because of how ugly it is, in a way. You know, just that perverse nature, but I don't think the money worked out.
Yeah, whatever.
I actually think that's a real expensive piece now.
I think I was actually going to get the one you got, Doron. Like, if you didn't take it, I was just going to be like, fine. And then you took it, I was like, thank God, I don't have to buy it.
Doron, when you get tired of that, please let me know first.
I mean, at first I was like, this thing is hideous. I want it.
it's a headmaster. It's weird.
You know why I didn't pre-order that? Because I just felt like, boy, that's just like, I know it's a completely different culture, but like that kind of like affected me in a way. Like, I mean, I'm not Asian, you know, my wife's Asian.
Were you aroused?
Asian, but I wasn't like I looked at it. I'm like, man, I just. I don't understand this. Like, it was easier for me to get into Kiss Players than it was something that was designed in such a way, which, you know, in the 1950s or 1960s, it could be interpreted as a very negative representation of Asian people. And now I think back on it, I'm like, maybe I was wrong about it. And maybe I just took it the wrong way. And now I'm kind of like, yeah, I kind of want one.
Yeah.
Good luck. That was one of those things where I was like,
whenever it first came out,
I'm like, what the hell? What is this thing? It's hideous. And then I'm like, it's so weird. And it's a headmaster. I'm like, I want it. And then I'm like, okay, how am I going to get a hold of one of these things? Because you really have to jump through hoops to do it.
Yeah,
and then some friends of ours were going in on a group buy, and literally, I'm like, hey, how can I get in on this? And they're like, hey, you're in luck, we got one spot left, you know. So,
and then I think one of the friends is actually in Japan and can do it all, and or has a friend over there that's going to like, you know, buy the DVD set and then
I will say, if my father-in-law comes over, I will hide that piece.
You will hide it.
Yeah. Because he's Asian.
Is that offensive?
I didn't think it was offensive, but I'm not Asian. It didn't even click.
Since it's coming out of Japan.
It's a different culture over there. Yeah. It's a different culture. Let's not waste a show on our personal opinions on it.
I do see what you're saying, Rick. In our culture, it looks offensive. Because it's kind of like our equivalent of blackface here in the United States. You know, we would find that offensive.
But
In Japan, maybe not so much. I don't know.
I don't know. I think we're four white guys who can't really comment on other races being offended by stuff.
Well, you know, first of all, my last
two of us are ginger, though.
I only look white in order to.
So you were racially profiling Rick. I did. I'm sorry. I assumed your race.
I only look white so that I can infiltrate. You know, that's why I changed my name to Rick. My given name is Jose. But the problem is that every time I go to the airport, people say Jose Albert. Listen, this is why every time I go to the airport, and I'm not kidding, I'm 100% truthful right now. I always get to the airport early because when I go through security, Jose Alvarez, please step this way. Do you know how many Jose Alvarezes are on the do not flies list?
Wow.
And I'm not even kidding.
Like all of them?
I'm not even kidding. I've been stopped 5 times.
And make sure you're not bad, Jose.
One time I went for a speeding ticket to court, and this was in New Jersey. And they're like, Jose Alvarez, child support, you know, loitering, whatever. Which one are you? I'm like, speeding ticket, man. That's it. Speeding ticket.
Wow.
I mean, I was doing 105 in, like, you know, a 65 zone. But
you're lucky you still have a driver's license.
You're lucky you didn't kill somebody.
Yeah.
Well,
I was trying.
So robots in disguise.
Well, I was going to step on and talk about robots in disguise.
I was wanting to finish about Brakeshot, though, because I was able to pick mine up too. And
he is
really beautiful. I mean, the colors on him are great. I love the chest remold. I don't know if you can see all the detail on the video there, but the chest and the head remold, great. The shoulders.
I thought the chest was going to be paint or decals, but no, it's molded in there. It's crazy.
Hopefully molded in there. Yeah.
Not for me, but it's cool.
I got my on order.
I was expecting just pretty much a straight up six shot redeco. But it's a little bit more than that, and I'm quite happy with it. The actual Titan Master itself. If I can get it out of here, the way that's in there wedged. But the detail on the faceplate is like.
Great too.
It's really blurry.
Yeah.
Now, is that a whole new figure or is it just a faceplate?
It is the revolver from Six Shot with a whole new faceplate. And this is Jack from the Victory series. The way they have Headmasters.
So it's a really nice figure.
I'm really happy to get it. I wanted to get the Grand Maximus. But I just don't have the room for it.
And the one complaint that I do have outside of a paint smudge on the wheel here, which is easily removable with nail polish remover, is the same thing that
The six shot had, and with the Titan Master, the way it fits down in the head port, and then you got basically the cap that comes down over the head.
Great shot has some great molded and painted detail on the forehead,
which you would love to see displayed whenever he's on the actual body,
but.
You have to kind of leave the cap up just a little bit so you can actually see some of it. Just like on Six Shot. Six Shot had that wonderfully molded in, I guess, like riding on his forehead. For Titan Returns. And then whenever you put him on the body, the head just literally covered all that great molded in detail up. And it was kind of disappointing. So you gotta kind of leave the cap a little bit up so you can kind of
see. Then you get that break, you know.
Yeah, you get that break. But maybe he's like Ray Liotta from Hannibal.
It's one of those things where it's a trade off.
Do you want to see the nice molded in detail that you're intended to see, or do you want to cover it up and see a little bit of a break in the covering? I don't know. I prefer to see the nice molded in detail.
Well, for our listeners, Jerome mentioned his paint smudge on the wheel. I've got a big paint scratch on my windshield. Let us know if you got great shot and have kind of weird errors like that. See if it's a batch-wide thing rather than just two examples. I want to know.
My great shot came in six-shot colors. I think that might actually just be a six-shot figure.
I'm like, do you think it might be a six-shot? Night Sword. I have not actually transformed it in all six modes yet. It came packaged in jet mode. And then I transformed it to robot, and I have not yet had a chance to convert it to all six modes. I do like the wolf mode, or the wolf head has been remolded into a rhino. Yeah, that's really nice.
I am curious to see the upside down submarine mode on him.
What, you mean the gun mode?
It's not a gun.
He's got a gun mode?
Yeah.
It's a blaster.
It's a submarine.
And officially, it's an upside-down submarine.
Yeah, it's a gun.
So now that we've talked for 45 minutes about something totally not related to the main topic of the show, which, you know, hey, that's the way podcasts go.
High five, go team!
Yes, woo! We're productive.
But hey, you know, that's what makes podcasts interesting. We talk about interesting shit. You know, so.
15 minutes on Robots in Disguise, go.
Well, sometimes we just talk about it a little bit longer.
So in 2001, Hasbro, if you watched the last episode we had with Aaron Archer, my hero.
If you watched that episode, he gave us a little bit of insight on the changeover between, say, Beast Machines and RID, and also Beast Machines and Armada.
They were going to go with the Trans Tech line and opted to just totally kill that and bring over a line that Takara had made. As a filler line over there, essentially, called Car Robots or Transformers 2000, depending on where you're at. They brought it over here to the United States and repackaged it as Transformers Robots in Disguise, imported the anime over here. The anime was a bit goofy. But it was still... It was a far cry from what we were used to, even in G1, and we had just come off the dark humor series with Transformers Beast Machines. And then we get this very lighthearted, very humor-based cartoon that is Robots in Disguise.
Well, I think we needed that drastic change. Remember, Beast Machines and Beast Wars were CGI shows. They had very serious undertones. Characters could die, and there were consequences in the storyline. But then go to RID, where you have the comedy in it. You also have a very drastic change in the aesthetic of the toy line. You go to full-on vehicle modes, recognizable Earth-based vehicle modes. And I think you needed that change in animation in order to make that work. We still had plenty of beasts.
We still had beasts, yeah.
Car Robots had a lot of the figures, which... See, at the time, Beast Machines had not come out in Japan. So Takara had taken several Beast Machines and several... Well, actually, it was Beast Wars Transmetal 2 figures and brought them over into the RID line. And just like in Beast Wars 2, all the animals were good guys, regardless if they were insects, dinosaurs, mammals, chickens. And all the vehicle-based guys were bad guys. So you kind of had that in Car Robots and Transformers Robots in Disguise, where if you were a vehicle, you're a good guy. And then all the animals are, even the Maximals that were brought over to the line were repainted. They were bad guys until the Decepticons show up. And it was cool because they had the Autobots versus the Predacons, which were animals, which younger fans would easily recognize. And then when the the vehicle-based bad guys showed up, those were Decepticons.
I like that. So that was a choice.
There were two different evil factions, essentially.
Well, the Decepticons were like a subgroup of the Predacons, which I thought was cool.
They were like the special forces.
Yeah, a flip-flop of Generation 1, where the Predacons were a subgroup of Decepticons.
And, you know, you say what you will about the animation. You can look back on it now and say it was very kid-oriented. Or some of the stories.
I'm not saying it was bad. I enjoyed the show.
But there were some very unique aspects of that toy line. You had some very unique characters, which even once they're repainted and put into Universe or other toy lines or generations or movie, they still have that Robots in Disguise essence to them. We finally got like real combiners again. We had the train bots, we had the Constructobots, we had G1 Bruticus slightly retooled and re-released.
Which was a joy for me because I've been craving G1 toys again. And to actually go into a retail store and see a G1 mold back on the shelf again. I didn't care what color it was in. I wanted it.
I mean, I wouldn't discount that to say that, you know, we finally got combiners again, because we still got combiners in Beasts in the U.S. I know they weren't featured in the show in any way or anything, but we definitely got some interesting combiners toys out there.
I mean, you know, we had Triparticus, we had Magnaboss, but, you know, those were kind of early on still before Transmetals. And I think once the Transmetals started hitting, you know, you look at the sales and how they kind of increased exponentially from there. Those figures kind of got left behind, and they were never repainted again, at least not in the United States. They were offered by Takara. But R.I.D. had some very unique things. And one of my favorite aspects of R.I.D. was their interpretation of Scourge, which eventually would end up becoming something like of a mainline aspect of the Transformers brand, eventually being known as Nemesis Prime. Scourge, he was a Decepticon who had scanned Optimus Prime, but instead of being a repaint of Optimus Prime, he had his own unique cab and trailer mode, which was, to me, was very awesome because it actually gave more characterization to that villain. And that was a great G2 toy, the Laser Optimus Prime, which was re-echoed.
That was actually my very first exposure to the G2 Laser Prime mold. I mean, I'd seen it in stores, but at the time that G2 Laser Prime was actually on shelves, I had moved away from collecting at that point in time. It was around the time I was in college, getting ready to go into college, and I just wasn't a toy collector at that time. And then by the time R.I.D. came around and Scourge came out, I remember seeing the toy before, but I had never actually got to handle it until I picked it up, and I'm like, wow, this thing is amazing. And then to realize at that point it was pushing like a 10-year-old mold as it was, I'm blown away. I'm like, wow, this is great.
And everybody wanted that toy to come out, and I think eventually it ended up being a Toys R Us exclusive.
Yep. Mm-hmm. I remember trying to get one so bad, and I kept going to my local Walmart. I mean, I was eight years old, so I was at the whim of my parents, but I would say, let's go get Scourge. I really want Scourge. And I never knew he was a Toys R Us exclusive because
you found the little legend, and you're like, this is all I'm getting.
I didn't get that either, actually, until a long time later. So I never had Scourge until, I don't know, 2008 or so? Long time.
And then once you did finally get it, you were like, yes.
Yeah, I was.
R.I.D. had a lot of figures which we had never really seen before in the Transformers lore. The train bots, to me, are a great example. You have three trains, bullet trains, which trains are still very popular in the Asian countries. And
freaking love that combiner, though.
And they combine together. they combined together, and it was a great toy combined. They were great figures. I really wish there was a universe version of them as Decepticons, which never came out, which had graffiti all over them, but it was just too expensive to produce. So the artwork got made for it, but no samples have ever shown up.
Really? This is the first I've heard of that.
Yeah, Dan Kana actually did the artwork, and he colored the artwork, but to this day, no one's ever seen physical samples of it. So it may just be something that they did digitally, and it never got produced, or, you know, it could be sitting in someone's basement. You don't know.
It might be sitting in Glenn Hallett's basement.
No, he who shall not be named? No. Because that was 2004. That was after he had already been removed and Brian Savage had already been put in place.
2004? Because I thought...
In 2005. It was supposed to be 2004. I found out about it in 2005.
Yeah, so my experience with the show is a bit different than y'all. So I wasn't into Transformers at the time. I hadn't been into Transformers since I was a kid at that point. I was in college, and I remember the first time I saw a red toy, not knowing what it was. Then I had a buddy, and he had a Transformer. Like, I was at his house. It was, a college buddy working on a project. And I was like, what's this? He's like, I don't know, it's like some Japanese toy my sister got me. He knew it was a Transformer. He didn't know what it was. It was Prowl from Robots in Disguise. I was like, oh, whatever. And then probably like a year or two after that, like right at the end of college for me, I had been collecting Ninja Turtles, which are way cheaper hobby. So much cheaper of a hobby.
You don't say.
Yeah, I've been staying the hell away from Transformers, and I finally was like, man, Megatron seems like a cool toy. How do they get a gun to be a robot? And the club reissued the Transformers Club, not club, but you know what they called it over the car was doing. That was doing the G1 reissues, and I bought that, and I started getting into them. So I watched the cartoon a few years after that at some point. I don't know, downloaded a bunch of dubs or something. And so I made a haiku for it. I think Red sucked ass. I made myself suffer it. I wish I was dead. I did
great.
Not
so,
enjoy
so,
the cartoon.
Thanks.
Yeah.
You did not enjoy the cartoon.
No. That being said, I still managed to make it all the way through it. I can't say the same for the current Red cartoon, which I made an episode and a half, and I was like,
I got about half.
I was like, this is not for me. It's completely not for me. Why am I wasting my time?
I think I made it to the end of the new one. But there's two versions of me. There's two versions of me that saw the original Robots in Disguise cartoon. There's the 8-year-old me that saw it when it came out, and that one hated it. I've been watching Beast Wars. I've been watching Beast Machines a little bit, and then
hated it, but you still really wanted that Scourge toy.
I did, because I saw it on a website or something. I don't know. It was Black Prime. It was really cool, but yeah, I hated the cartoon. And then I watched it later, like 2006-ish, when I was in high school, and I liked it a lot. I understood it for what it was. It's very kiddie, but in that, it's a lot of fun if you don't take it too seriously.
Yeah, like. I didn't care for it, but I still was able to make it through it. You know what I mean? I haven't made it through Victory. I literally fall asleep.
I've been trying to get through Master Force that same way.
Oh, I loved Master Force. I really dug it. The one of the trilogy. I think Master Force is the best liked generally. You know, Headmasters is so goofy, especially if you listen to the dub.
You know what? That's what I'm watching. I'm watching Headmasters. Sorry.
Okay. Yeah. You have to watch the dub of Headmasters just because it's so bad. That's what makes it entertaining. There's otherwise the plots are just.
What are they called? Blaster Billy?
Yeah.
Billy's
we got to get the power pack, Billy.
I'm a Cybertron.
But yeah.
There's also two versions of me that liked the toy line or didn't like the toy line. I got Optimus, the Fire Convoy combining one when it came out, and I could not make it work. I couldn't transform it. It was way too difficult for me. But I love Landfill because I got all of those guys and I got one of the train bots. And then several years later, I went back to it and Optimus is great. I just wasn't old enough to be able to handle it the right way when I was a kid. But another weird thing about RID for me, and it's like the best story I have about RID and me. It's not the best. That was a bad introduction.
Sounds like a children's book, RID and me.
RID and me. The best. I don't know if you guys remember when RID started airing, but it was like the week before 9/11. And the way my child brain was, that's very tied together for me. And we don't need to get into like how we all experienced 9/11 because that's how it happened. But for me, Robots in Disguise is very tied up in that.
Really?
Just
really?
Because it was hard same time.
You know, it'd be hard to look on that favorably.
That's an interesting way to look at it because, you know, the other three of us, you're in a younger demographic than us, and that's one of the reasons why I'm glad to have you on this show, is that you give us a perspective that You know, a lot of us don't see because we're older. I was an adult when 9/11 happened.
I was an adult when RID hit the shelves.
So I look at it from a totally different perspective than you would. How did you, as a child, when you were watching the cartoon, what were things going through your mind? What made you dislike it as a child?
I don't remember specifically. I remember not relating to Koji at all. I've been watching a lot of Digimon. That was my thing when I was a kid, and I related to each and every one of the characters there. But Koji
was the human
like,
character.
Yeah, Koji's the human character.
He was the human child character.
And I did not like him at all. He was not related to me. That Optimus wasn't the Optimus I knew, because by that point I'd already seen a bunch of G1. It wasn't Transformers.
How are you exposed to G1?
Blockbuster. I would go up. My
Blockbuster is a business that used to rent what we call videos.
We would go to Blockbuster and rent. I forget who made them. Probably FHE. It was before Rhino. Whoever made the videotapes of them. And we would go rent them, and I would rent the same ones over and over and over and over again.
That's awesome.
Particularly Transformers the movie. I probably saw that billions of times. I wish I could have gotten the copy before it got destroyed and they, you know, moved on to DVDs, because that particular copy from that specific store really made me be a Transformers fan.
That's pretty awesome.
That is awesome.
I love that story, because like, again, you're the youngin' when we like to talk about that, but
yep,
the fact that you mentioned that your Transformer history involves Blockbuster kind of like adds 5 years, you know. So just
makes my beard feel a little bit more gray.
I'm not the youngest. He's much younger than I am, but I did Blockbuster. I actually discovered GoBots first, because they had the GoBotron saga the first couple episodes.
They were out first.
I got them first, and then picked up Transformers later.
And did you ever see the GoBots Rock Lords movie as a
child? Of course,
child?
I have it on VHS. I bought it on eBay to watch it. It's not that great.
I didn't like the cartoon, but everything else, you know, about it that Rick was mentioning earlier, like, I would agree with. You know, with
the engineering.
Like a couple of my favorite toys, and this one, granted, this is an older one, but still, I really like the Scourge toy, and I have the rest of it.
That mold still holds up after all.
It's a fun toy. It has the articulation you need. It's posable, and you know, and it looks good. It's that nice balance of fun to transform and can do everything you want it to do.
But
the color's cool, and I love again that it wasn't just it's a Black Prime. You know, Scourge was a character, and it feels like for the most part we just go to Nemesis Prime is a Black Evil Prime.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of lazy. I don't really think we get Scourge himself really anymore, but I do like that they did that, and I like what it added to the mythos. I think I like even the shows I don't like, I like what they add to the mythos. So, you know, we had Beast came out, and again, I wasn't into Transformers at the time, but you know, there was the whole truck not monkey debate, whatever. But then the first show after Beast Machines ended had Beast in it. You know, it added to that legacy permanently. And then, you know, I think the idea of Scourge, you know, and Skybite has really added to the legacy, you know, and Skybite's goofy and, but you know, I mean, it's fun. He's definitely fun, you know, and every cartoon that comes out, I think adds more, whether you like it or not, it keeps adding more to that mythos that gives us the bigger picture. Like, remember when Drift was announced, And everybody's like, oh, God, here comes the Mary Sue character. And I think it took a little bit, but now, you know, I really enjoy Drift and what he's added to it. And so, you know, each iteration, I think, looking back, will end up doing more good than harm. Because what sucked about it usually stays behind. What they did right and what they did good, it helps carry forward.
I think, you know,
other toys they came out that liked is I don't have the one from that because I kept the BotCon one and I cut down on molds, but I really like this mold because it turns into a hand.
Yes.
How many other Transformers turn into a hand? You know, it's just that's cool. That's a cool thing. And
the dragon mode on that toy absolutely blows me away. I love the dragon mode on it.
And here's what I was trying to say about R.I.D. The engineering on those figures is so unique, even when they're repainted and released in other toy lines. There is something so unique about the three car robot brothers and how they transform and how they look and how they are not a symmetrical robot.
I love that.
There's something so unique about that Megatron toy and all his various modes, and then his fan modes, his elephant mode, you know, that they put when they released Galvatron. They took all the fan modes and they made him official. Mm-hmm. There's something very unique about that Optimus Prime, even though he's a parts former, but it has an iconic feel to it. It's the articulation, it's the size. It's that face, too. He's the only Optimus with that face. And it gets you in the feels when you sit down and you start playing with those R.I.D. toys after you haven't played with them for a while.
You know, you're talking about the Fire Convoy and the Super Fire Convoy version. A couple of years ago, Orson, whenever he was at TFCon Canada, he picked up the Sam's Club version of the Fire Convoy and the God Magnus for me.
And piss colors?
Yeah, the piss colors. A lot of people hate them, but I thought it looked pretty awesome.
You know,
especially the all yellow prime. I love it.
Is the same one I have now?
Yes.
You actually bought it.
Surprise! I have that.
But that was actually the first exposure I had
to those molds since I sold them back in 2006. I had them loose and sealed back in the day. And then my first huge collection purge, everything RID went. And since then, I'd picked up several other R&D figures, most notably Rail Racer, which he's one of my favorite combiners of all time, even up there with some of the G1s. I love my Abominus, I love my Computron, I love my Rail Racer. He's one of my top tiers in Transformers history. And I had one of those. But I didn't go back and pick up the Prime and Magnus because... As an adult, and this goes back to what I was talking before. I got into R.I.D. as an adult, and I played with the toys. I thought they were good, but I didn't like the parts formeriness of it. I didn't like the fact that here's a really cool fire truck that's enormous.
I mean, you just don't get toys this size anymore.
Had all these firing missiles and everything. Great toy. But to make the Super Robot, you virtually have to disassemble the whole damn thing. The front of the thing turns into...
But isn't that just a Mega Supreme?
I didn't like Omega Supreme back in the day either.
I look back on him now. I appreciate him more now through retrospect. But I didn't like Omega Supreme back in the day simply because you had to take him apart.
I didn't like the Seekers back in the day.
Because of all the wings and the fists and crap.
You know, I'm with you. I think that, and I still have my Prime and my Ultra Magnus from Red. I think they are great display pieces, but I don't play with those toys. And, you know, other than like when I first got them, you know, and combine them to make the big one, like I doubt I'll probably never combine them again, and I don't really even know that I'll bother to transform them again. I don't find them fun.
Well, it's not that I didn't.
Most of the rest of the line I like, and I think they look great. I have no interest in transforming.
It's not that I don't find them fun. It's just that I didn't like the fact that I had to disassemble them. But whenever I had the opportunity to pick up the Sam's Club versions, which Christian says he's got those now.
The thing is, I got them and I transformed them.
I'm like, these are great toys.
I don't care anymore that I have to disassemble them.
And I'm sorry, but Omega Prime, the combined mode. There's so many ways that you can kind of customize that thing to make it look a little bit different. You know, fold like the fold the
what
chest.
What a pain in the ass to get them to stand up.
It is a pain in the ass.
The hip ratchets are a little bit weak. The knees.
I wish his hands were better so he could hold that giant sword.
But he is impressive.
Excuse the language. He's impressive as fuck. I love his toy.
Yeah, I love that toy.
What the fuck did you say?
Shut the fuck up. But he is impressive, and I reattached to that figure.
And I'll really dig him in the yellow and the blacks and everything.
And then through Orson, I was able to handle the all translucent versions of those molds.
Ooh, I want those. It is beautiful, absolutely beautiful. Oh man,
can't afford one.
I want that one, and I want the lucky draw one, the black one.
The all translucent version of Omega Prime.
You know, since we're talking about RID toys, you know, who can forget this gem?
Oh, what could have been?
Wow.
So, for people who don't know what that is the titanium 6-inch figure, but it's decorated in blue and called Defensor.
Gee, why is that, because, Rick?
I think it's called Hot Zone.
Was it Hot Zone?
I think it's just Hot Zone. Yeah, they didn't get the name for it.
Okay. So, Oatfuck, which stands for Official Transformers Collectors Con. Yes, it was a con, not convention.
And for those who don't know what that is, before Funpub took over and ran BotCon, BotCon had gotten official, and then it became Oatfuck for a couple years, and then it became BotCon again. And so a couple years of Oatfuck.
You've never heard it called that.
That shows how goddamn young you are.
Yes, I don't know what everyone was calling it.
It's
called Oatfuck.
Everybody was calling it that.
So anyway, that Optimus Prime with a Defensor head was intended to be an exclusive for that convention. Unfortunately, it never happened for various reasons. That can be a whole series of shows. Fortunately, it never happened. So that is the closest we ever got to having that figure. There are two samples in the wild out there, at least two samples that I know of. When I was working with FunPub, that was one of the figures we had looked at. Now, we wanted to stay away from concepts that Oatfuck had introduced but never executed on. But that was just one figure we knew everybody would want. When we went back to Takara to say we want this mold, unfortunately, that RID mold of Optimus Prime had run its course and it didn't exist anymore.
Now it does again.
And it does again. And I want everyone to know out there that is a brand new tool. It's not from the original mold. That's a brand new tool, that Encore Edition Optimus Prime. I'm not sure if the Ultra Magnus.
The one that's having all the issues.
Yeah, I'm not sure if the Ultra Magnus is a new tool or not. I can't confirm that. But the Magnus is the one that's having the issues.
So it's probably the old one.
I can confirm 100% that that's a brand new tool for Optimus Prime. Because the Optimus Prime no longer existed. The Car Robot Brothers didn't exist anymore. Just because you use those molds so many times over and over and over again, you know, you have a tier A character like Optimus Prime, so you print thousands and thousands of copies of it, and then you go back and you do repaints of it. So I was actually given a list by Takara of all the toys that were still available. All the Armada Minicons were gone. A lot of the Car Robot stuff was gone, but Oddly enough, most of the Beast Wars and Beast Machine stuff was still there. And for the very first BotCon that we did through FunPub, we wanted to do that. This is a side story. We wanted to do the Galvatron from Beast Wars 2 as Thunderwing. And we even had one done up by Rob Yee, who works at Art Asylum. He even did one up. And
instead, you did Desirous.
Because that tooling was lost. That and Leo Convoy, it wasn't used up. They actually just lost it.
It's such a good mold, too. I love that Galvatron mold.
But yeah, they actually lost it.
What, the Galvatron?
The Galvatron and the Leo Convoy from Beast Wars 2.
Okay.
They actually lost the molds.
I love that Galvatron because he's basically a giant purple spinning dildo.
Yeah, I'm kind of into it, too.
You mean it's kind of into you?
It's like hit that button.
He rolls his eyes back in his head.
Yeah.
We pushed the awkwardness.
So speaking about the RID show, when I was at Hasbro, we were talking about Headmasters and Master Force and how tedious it is to go through those shows. Well, you know, some people can say the same of RID. And I had worked on those releases on the Divid of those series, and I was trying to get RID out. Unfortunately, RID, that particular show is owned by Saban. And Saban is owned by, you know, Disney now. And Disney can't release it on their own, and Hasbro couldn't release it. Yeah, so Disney couldn't release it without Hasbro's permission, and Hasbro couldn't release it without Disney's permission, because Disney owns the show, but Hasbro owns the characters. And I was told there honestly just aren't enough people asking for it. I'm like, but you don't know that unless it comes out. And I think the only way it ended up coming out was in Europe.
Where nobody gives a shit.
That was the only way it came out was in English, was through the UK. And I don't know if it was the entire series or if it was just season one.
It's the whole thing.
Okay. But it's region coded, so. But, you know, now we have this thing called YouTube and the internet, and we can get everything off of that, so.
You know,
you don't need Divids anymore.
Talking about, you know, the point in time that RID was, you know, we just come off of Beast Machines. Hello.
Hey,
earmuffs the entire time.
What's your favorite Transformer? Who's your favorite Transformer?
Bumblebee.
Who's your favorite Decepticon?
Megatron.
She likes Bumblebee. I think you're going to have to return her and get another one.
Yeah.
Well, she's young. You know, that's who Bumblebee appeals to. Here's a Bumblebee. Go away.
But yeah, I would. Coming out of
tuna, Bumblebee tuna. Your spark is showing.
I like Beast Machines for the most part. There's one or two things I did not like about it. But you know, I felt we came off of competent fiction and a very, you know, like they said, you know, kind of serious show, but with terrible toys. I mean, yeah, there might be some good ones here or there. In general, that toy line was bad. It wasn't show accurate, and the scale is. We joke about Transformer scale. Good Lord, was scale out of whack for that toy line. So, and I feel we went from that to RID, which to me had a forgettable show, but really solid toys for the most part. Again, I don't think anything's perfect, but you know, it was kind of an interesting flip. And you know, and I feel that the scale on the RID toy line is good. You know, they fit together, they look together on the shelf. So it was just an interesting swap to me. But then, granted, I don't think anything has been had as bad of a toy line as Beast Machines did.
I like that the Robots in Disguise toy line had incorporated molds from every other toy line prior to it, plus new ones.
G1, G2.
Beast Wars repaints? Yep.
It had Beast Wars repaints. Yeah, Gas Skunk.
Skylight. I always forget that the Gas Skunk came out. Yeah.
Was G2, Spy Changers.
G2 had the Spy Changers.
Yeah, Laser Prime.
Machine Wars had the Flip Changers. They came back.
Yeah.
Toe Line and Skids.
It was literally a revisit of every Transformers line.
Every single line. Yeah.
It was kitchen sink, the toy line.
And then later on, there were universe toys that used our ID molds.
Yeah. But you could tell, and that's what I was saying later. When those figures are repainted, they still feel separate. They still feel like they're a different universe, because when you look at your universe shelf, for those of you that have it, you can tell that your R.I.D. figures don't quite fit in with the other guys.
I mean, the thing is, I agree with what you're saying there, but I feel every toy line has that feel. Like Armada toys feel like Armada toys.
Yep.
Energon toys feel like Energon toys. You know, and even Combiner Wars is very distinct. The original Classics line is very distinct, and to me, you know, one of the high points in Transformers, although I do think Titans Return was kind of bringing it back. I really enjoyed Titans Returns, but I felt that every line has been really distinctive. I mean, of course, animated, super distinctive.
It is kind of good that we didn't get animated in Universe. That Universe preceded animated, because that would have
just... Wait a minute, didn't we get Axer?
From the movie mold. Original Universe line. Universe 1.0.
Oh, okay. I was starting to say it wasn't like Lockdown.
Not Generations. Yeah, not Generations. Universe 1.0.
But that Axer, though, wasn't an animated repaint, was it? Well, that was from the movie.
That was the movie Lockdown.
Movie mold.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. That was the
movie
Lockdown.
Yeah.
Right character, wrong mold. Okay.
Right.
I'm
really happy that Encore, that R.A.D. has been... looked at enough that Takara decided to invest the money in that tool and to
resume it. It's kind of like Vindication.
I'm hoping.
If it wasn't so damn expensive, I'd be all over it.
Yep. Maybe we'll get that Defensor eventually. I think we should be hopeful.
Oh, I would like to one note is just a big middle finger to Hasbro for reusing a damn line. And now when we talk about RID, we have to say which one we're talking about. That's really frustrating. And they're doing it again with War for Cybertron. Now we're going to have to do it again because we already had War for Cybertron.
I thought it was War on Cybertron. It was going to be this one.
Nope.
Oh, you know what? I thought you were talking about like the voice chip for some reason.
No. I'm just talking about the actual line.
No, the name of the thing.
Still said Maximize.
Yeah. No, that's just... Come on, guys. Come up with some new names. Don't do this to us. Like the poor wiki maintainers.
Carrie, viewing the episode, says your little girl is adorable. So she wanted you to know.
Yes. I'm a bid start at $5.
She likes Bumblebee, so watch out.
She's had a full education. Real Ghostbusters, He-Man, She-Ra, Super Friends, Spider-Man and his amazing friends.
Ninja Turtles?
We did Vintage Turtles. Yeah, she does like the new Nickelodeon show, but we've only seen
the new one or the one that just ended.
That just ended, yeah.
Okay.
And then we did classic DuckTales, we did new DuckTales, we did Darkwing Duck. So
now that's stuck in my head.
I already. Yeah, children need to play in both aisles. I don't like it when girls just play in the pink aisle. I think we're creating
a target for the pink aisle.
So Rick, when you were a kid, did you get taken down the girls' aisle and buy some girl toys?
No, I'm an only child, and all my cousins were 12 years older than me, so I never. But one of my favorite memories about Casey is that they never made a Rapunzel's tower, so she would use a vintage Castle Grayskull as a tower, and she would have Rapunzel's hair fall down over the tower. And Flynn Rider would drive up in his beat-up Thunder Tank to rescue Rapunzel.
All right, that makes up for Bumblebee.
Exactly how it happened in the
toys that made us.
That makes up for Bumblebee. She gets a pass.
And she loves Hulk and Thor, just like Daddy. Right?
But she needs to use an 80s Jack Specific Hulk Hogan toy as Hulk. Hulk and Thor.
Where did I get all these Transformers? That's a long story. Involving murder and betrayal and some words I can't use in front of you. Not till you're 8.
But also fun.
Yeah.
Yes.
Sure. Frustrating.
But
I have fun when I murder
people. Speaking about frustrating, though, one of the things about RID
that is really frustrating. And some G1s actually befall this thing, is the dry rotting tires on the toys. That was one of the things that whenever I went back and picked up some of the Carr Brothers, I had the clear ones, which Sideburn actually bought off of me, Michael Swift. I had the Japanese Botcon clear ones. They had no issues. I mean, there was some slight yellowing on the clear plastic, but that's what happens. But you can't really prevent that.
It's funny. I've never had any dry rot on mine. I just took mine out to photograph them, and I haven't had any.
It doesn't happen on all of them, but some of them do.
On the American or Japanese ones.
Now the Prime and Magnus are notorious for having split tires. But the Carr Brothers, it's hit or miss with those.
I have every version of each of those molds, and luckily none of mine has split so far.
Yeah, I'm pretty lucky. I think you're just rough with your toys.
I don't really think that's a problem to get worked up about. You know, I'm going to take an unpopular opinion here. I mean, these are children's playthings. Nothing lasts forever. You know, I mean, if I have the vintage and the tire is split, or if it hasn't split, and honestly, I don't know, I'd have to go look, and it's like over there. Over there. I mean, I'm not like, yay, the tire split, but it's going to happen. I mean, it's rubber. It's going to break down over time. I think that's okay. You know, again, it's not ideal, but there is a fix.
I mean, a lot of people just glue it back together or something, but
yeah. Or just accept that plastic breaks down over time.
It's like O-ring figures, old Mego figures that are still on the card. The rubber band breaks, you know, old He-Man figures, the rubber band breaks. It's still carded, but, you know, the rubber band is broken inside of it, unfortunately. It's going to happen.
You can throw your toy in a damn closet, open it 10 years later, and it will still have yellowed sometimes.
So, a couple years ago, was it early 2001, 2002, a lot of the lunchtime specials started showing up, a lot of the clear G1 Optimus Primes and Soundwaves and Starscreams. And I spent a lot of money, and I got several of those. And I paid $2,500 for my G1 Optimus Prime and all clear. It was the Takara book version one that had the axe and the matrix. Mm-hmm. And I kept it completely hidden in the dark. And here I am, and it's completely yellowed out. The cab, not the trailer. The cab looks like dried Vaseline, completely yellowed out. It's going to happen.
It happens. It sucks, but you can't prevent it, no matter what you do.
But then Tony Prado, he's got one, and his is like super clear still.
Just different batch that day. Minorly different, and it'll behave differently.
Now, before we wrap up on this discussion, I'm really happy that the broadcast has not dropped at all. So if you guys are enjoying this broadcast and it's been good, I'm hoping that the mixer next week will fix the audio issues.
And make us a cake.
The cake is a lie.
Spoilers.
I think it's cool being live. I actually went to the YouTube page just long enough to pop out the chat so that way I could have had chat up, you know, while we're talking and stuff. So that's fun.
It's really awesome to see people interacting, and I thank everybody for your comments on here. Some really good stuff that's been mentioned today. But before, I'm going to throw this out there for all the listeners, too, as you're watching. If you're watching live, you can comment on there. We may mention it here on air. But let's talk about the highlight of the series for us, as far as toy goes. I don't remember a whole lot of the cartoon because it's not readily available for me. I don't particularly want to go to YouTube and look it up and watch the entire series on there.
But my DVDs.
Oh, that'd be great. Appreciate that. Because what I do is I would rip them and put them on my cloud here.
Let me get them first, and I'll send them to you.
But from a toy perspective. I'm going to go around the horn here and see what are our highlights of the line as far as the toys you cannot live without from R.I.D.
Since I am the handsomest, may I start?
All right, we'll go with the ugliest first.
Okay, so I just you know, there's something very important that we need to mention about RID, and that is Brave Maximus. And let us not forget that RID brought us a whole new Fortress Maximus repaint in the form of Brave Maximus. So I'm grateful to RID for that alone.
That was the first time I had ever gotten a hold of the Fort Max mold and got to play with it.
Same. And as a special treat, I think in a future episode of TFYLP, I just got a second Brave Maximus. I've never opened one of my own, so we're gonna do an unboxing. What do you think? Should we do an unboxing?
Live on air? Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely. So Rob, what's your highlight of RID that you just can't live without?
You know,
even today.
I mean, okay, to be honest, you know, if I'm stranded on an island, you're like, you know, list your top X toys. It's going to be a little while before I hit RID toys, even though there's a lot of them I really like. But, you know, some of my highlights I've already mentioned, like the Megatron mold, although my favorite version of that is the BotCon 2016 Beast Wars Megatron. You know, and again, I really like Scourge, the train combiner. You know, it's all stuff we've mentioned today already. The train combiner, I think, is awesome just because they're trains and they combine. I know that, again, the stereotype is, oh, over in Japan, you know, trains are very popular, but everybody else hates them. I don't know. I think train toys are very cool, and I wish we got more of them. You know, like those are probably the ones that stick out the most to me. You know, the Devastator, again, I can't remember what his official name is.
Landfill. Yeah.
You know, that's a cool toy and it's a neat toy, but it's not the best combiner. It's like little spindly arms or something,
but,
you know. But I'm glad it exists.
Bots.
That's what I'm saying. It's cool. It has neat stuff.
Mm-hmm. And I think you can configure it so many different ways too.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's neat, but it's still not like, I don't think it's groundbreaking either. At the same time, I think it's good.
Time,
I think it's solidly good.
I would say
good.
It's there was never a really a transformer like that, and there really has never been a combiner like that.
Nope.
Yeah. It's I would say like the train blast, it is unique.
Like I'd probably say it's for me the single most kind of favorite thing I got out of RID, honestly, is probably Skybite. Not necessarily his toys. I just again, while an entire show that goofy doesn't really interest me, having one character that's goofy like that and that, you know, spouts haikus, I think that's just dorky and stupid and really fun, and I enjoy it and I like it. Like the very little that we see him show up in other stuff, always enjoy that. So that's probably to me is like the longest lasting bit of thing that they've added to the mythos that I've appreciated.
I mean, that is some unique characterization, and I like that. Skybite is unique. Everybody can appreciate and love Skybite.
Absolutely. And incidentally, if you want to look up, I'm trying to find...
I'm disappointed none of you other fuckers wrote a haiku.
I did. Well, I'm going to end on it. It'll be fine.
Oh, okay.
Here, I'll quickly read a haiku that I found online. Let me see if I can find the author of this. I don't want to take credit for it.
I thought you were still looking it up.
Solar wind beckons. Scattering dust in the lane. My sword never rusts. That's a drift haiku.
Interesting.
I can dig it.
I can dig that.
Sucker!
We were talking about Skybite there, and it took me a second to pull it up. But if you're a fan of Skybite, our own Jim Black, he actually was able to interview Peter Spellos, the voice actor for Skybite, back on TFYLP episode number 248. It'll be right here on our YouTube channel. So after this episode, if you want to pull that one up and watch that, we had an interview with Peter Spellos. Great little interview. And also, if you want to hear more on RID and hear some of the other castmates that are on this show, and have been on this show, if you want to hear their opinions on it. And I know Headmaster Don, this is like his favorite topic, and he really lamented not being on this episode today, but he's currently at work.
Apparently didn't care enough.
No, he's got to earn a paycheck. He's got to earn a paycheck.
Who chooses work over Tiflip?
But if you want to hear their input, episode 149 of TFYLP was the first one of the first times that we covered RID as a topic. So you can check that episode out as well. Lots of good on good things on there, and I think that episode was actually hosted by Tobias. Our Swedish
Tobias Boone,
yes, okay. our Swedish contingent, which he's had some time away, I'm hoping someday he gets to come back. But that particular episode, I believe, was hosted by him. So check that out. TFYLP episode 149 and episode 248, I believe, was for Peter Spellos.
Does Tobias Boone and Noob Saibot still show up in Mortal Kombat?
I don't know.
Whoopsie.
I don't know. So Christian, your favorite RID toys that you know, if you were picking just one or two that you could only have in your collection, and that would be it for RID, what would they be?
The Spy Changers. It's a weird choice, but it's made a smaller collection with a much larger.
Lucas Bachelman agrees with you. He says he loves all the little Spy Changers.
Good. Yeah, I like collecting all the little variants of them. So I've got the American ones. I've got the supercharged ones. I've got the clear supercharged ones. I'm even starting to the G2 GoBots now. I don't have the American clear ones. Oh, yeah, I do. So I have the American supercharged ones, not the American just clear ones. I've got the G1 kind of ones. I love them. It's so many different ones that I can collect, and it's not easy to do, so it keeps me occupied.
You got all the tiny tins?
No, I don't have tiny tins.
Well, those weren't repaints, but those were just carded.
That's why I haven't gone for them yet.
Yeah.
Those would be the last ones I get, I think.
And they work great. I like them. Great Maximus.
They do, and I have mine. Well, when I'm not moving, they're displayed with my Brave Max.
So if I had to go back, I think I probably gave this away earlier, but I think my number one would be Rail Racer. Trains is something you just don't see a whole lot of in Transformers, especially here in the United States. We had Astro Train back in G1, and Then the Astro Train and Turns.
I can't really name any other trains besides the rail. Then you have the Universe Rail Racer, the Micromaster one.
If you let somebody messing with their mic, it's really disruptive. Yes, somebody has a lot of static.
Yeah, it's really bad.
I'm muting myself. I know it's not me.
Yeah.
Somebody not hear static because it's you.
Yeah.
There he goes. It was on Rexam. I think it would have to be Rail Racer because he's just so unique and he looks so darn impressive in the combined mode. I know in individual robot modes, they're a little bit wonky with like really long, spindly legs and everything, but that combined mode, just amazing. I wanted the Japanese JRX version of it, but I hear
that I have.
Maybe you can confirm. Do the clear windows pose an issue?
I've had mine for 12 years.
What should it look like? I can go look.
I hear that they become very brittle and either break out, and I just heard some bad about that.
Nothing's happened with mine like that yet, and I'm not going to go touch it and try to see if I can break it.
Yeah.
Mine's packed away, but. So, yeah, nothing major here.
Yeah, there's all sorts of variants on the trains, but yeah, I've never actually heard that one before.
Yeah. But I have to say the RID Team Bullet train, and then if I had to pick a second, would be the Carr Brothers. Sideburn and Prowl and X-Brawn, or Speedbreaker, Mach Alert, and Wild Ride, depending on where you're from. but I really love those guys. The powered up versions look really cool. All the gold chrome on like Mach Alert, striking blue, the metal flake in it too. It's just really pretty.
I think
Cyburn was probably the first. The very first exposure I ever had to RID, I had actually imported Super Mach Alert. I had actually imported one from Car Robots. I was actually quite disappointed with how fiddly that damn thing was. But once you get him into both modes, he looks great. He looks really great. Incidentally, wasn't there a snafu with Hasbro and the car manufacturers like Dodge? Didn't they have an issue with them releasing?
They did, and starting with the BotCon Shadow Strike and Roulette, they had to be licensed. So they were licensed for those two, and then they were licensed for Universe Sideburn. And then
I noticed that there's an actual Dodge Viper logo on one, and then the Mercedes logo on X-Brawn, and then the Lamborghini on Prowl. But I don't recall, was there a version of the package that did not have those logos, prior to the BotCon,
they didn't have it.
Rick, do you have any info on that?
You know, I'm trying to think. I'm Mr. Variant Collector, and I cannot for the life of me.
It just seems like I remember.
Here's what I remember. The first version in the regular colors did not have it. But then the super powered version did have the Dodge Viper logo on it.
And that was because I think it was Dodge that actually raised a stink about it, wasn't it? They was using a likeness of the Viper.
And there was also a problem with Chrysler as well because of the headlights of X-Brawn. They said the front end of X-Brawn was also theirs. So there was an issue with that. But that's all hearsay. I wasn't at Hasbro at that time. The only thing that I know for the only time I ever came across that situation was what was the double bladed helicopter plane thing from the movie? What's his name?
Incinerator.
The Osprey.
Yeah, the Osprey. Thank you. Yeah, we got snagged for that one, and we had to retroactively pay royalties on that. Even though they felt they made it different enough, the two propellers on the plane, on the wings, they said, that it was too close. And then oddly enough, with Animated, with the blackout from Animated, that's the reason it didn't come out over here, was because Paramount said that's too close to us and you have to pay us royalties.
But it fucked.
It's an character, but Paramount said no. We designed that. That's too close to us. You have to pay us royalties.
Wow.
That's a reason. Never came out over here. And then we were gonna put it out with season three. We were gonna take the Optimus, the Bumblebee, and the Blackout and put it out. And we just said, "F it. We're just gonna put it out." And then it never happened.
That is very interesting. Well, do you guys have any closing thoughts on the subject of RID?
Give me a high five. I probably transformed it wrong. I don't remember how to transform this shit at all, but it's close enough.
Yeah. It does look close. Can you have him flipping you off?
Dude, there's a child on the screen. I didn't bring her to this. I would know better.
No, she doesn't have headphones, so she can't hear you.
My haiku is a good leaving point for us if you want me to go ahead and do it.
Sure.
Yes.
Close with a haiku.
And before you read it.
Yep.
Before you read it, I'll close out the show and we'll have haiku as the ending of this episode. I want to thank everybody for joining us this week and check out our sponsor, Capture Prey. Great toys, great prices, great service, CaptureProy.com, as well as the Ripped Apparel. If you go to Ripped Apparel and enter the promo code TFYLPPOD, as long as there's not a promotion going on, you will save 10% on your order at Ripped Apparel. And as always, check us out on Twitter at TFYLP. You can always contact us on there via Twitter. It's always the quickest way.
Yeah.
Rob's holding up the rock on. Check us out on our Facebook group, facebook.com/groups/TFYLP. And with that,
Patreon.
Oh, yes, and Patreon.
If you do the thing with the Patreon, I'll send you any book of mine that you want. I have a Beast Wars book. I have a Japanese book. I have a new G1 book. I've got a book on Dracula. I've got some comic books here. I got some Buck Rogers. Whatever book, I'll send you whatever book you want, man. I don't care.
and you'll autograph it too.
Yeah, even if I'm not the author, whatever.
Check us out on Patreon.com/TFYLP. There's different tiers there where you can do as little as $1 a month, or you can do up to $100 a month. Help us continue to upgrade and make this show better. Ultimately, I want this show to be the best video Transformers podcast out there. I don't think we're always the best, but we try to be. I just can't overstate how much we appreciate all the people that continue to support us each and every month. You are our bread and butter. You are what keeps us going, and we appreciate you. And with that, let's end this episode on a haiku.
Robots in disguise, gone like a fleeting moment, always in our hearts.
This has been Transformers for your listening pleasure, a presentation of TFTalk.net. We'd like to thank you for listening and ask that you please rate us on your favorite podcast outlet and share us with your friends. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at TFYLP. Email us at podcast@TFYLP.com. This is Paul Lighting, and on behalf of TFYLP, we'd like to thank you again for listening, and we hope you'll join us next time for another TFYLP.